to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, May 22nd, 2022, by the Reverend Rhonda Johnson.
Do you want to be made well? 38 years is really a long time to sit on your mat. Every day is the same. You're waiting and you're watching and you're hoping. Not much changes. Sitting on his mat is the way of life for this man in today's gospel. His life is stagnant. He's unable to see the deep well of life within him. He's convinced that this life will bubble up outside of him in that stirred up waters of Bethesda. So he sits on his mat, waiting, watching, and hoping things will change. Now, this is a familiar story from the Gospel of John. Jesus walks through the sheep gate and immediately sees five porches filled with a crowd of blind, lame, and paralyzed invalids. Jesus wastes no time and goes directly to one man lying by the pool and says, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, on the surface of that, it seems like a silly question. Doesn't common sense tell us that, of course, he wants to be made well? Don't we all want to be made well? He has been lying by the pool for 38 years. Now, that's almost a lifetime in the ancient world. But it seems that it's not obvious to Jesus that he really wants to be healed. Because Scripture says that Jesus knew he had been there a long time. That's why Jesus basically asked him, "Why have you been here for 38 years? What do you really want?" And the man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the water, and when the water is stirred up, while I'm making my way, someone else steps in ahead of me." Jesus ignores his answer and says very directly, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." So at once the man stood up, took his mat, and began to walk. The gospel reading ends with this. Now that day was a Sabbath. So that's it? That's the end of the story? It seems so abrupt. There's more going on here. Is there a deeper message on this event? In other words, what is the rest of the story? So in asking this question, I'm reminded of a daily radio program of several years ago. Some of you may recognize this title. It was called The Rest of the Story. The commentator presented forgotten facts on a variety of subjects with some key element of the story held back until the end. And I was always curious to learn the rest of the story, rather like my curiosity to know the rest of the story of the man healed of his paralysis after 38 years. So I continued reading the scriptures and learned that later, Jesus found the healed man in the temple and said to him, "So, you have been made well. Don't sin anymore in case something worse happens to you." And I thought, aha, this is the rest of the story. Jesus knew that this man was physically healed, but spiritually vulnerable. Jesus expressed his concern for this man's soul, his spiritual life, and his faith. Remember, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man doesn't even say yes. Instead, he offers excuses. "I have no one to put me in the water. When the water bubbles up, others get in first." The man is claiming victimhood and this blaming others for his lack of healing. So it's so much easier than taking responsibility for one's actions or inactions. Jesus is saying to the man, "You have had a conversion experience, but before you fall into victimhood again, you must build your spiritual strength, your spiritual muscles. Don't fall backwards. Keep growing so that you don't become paralyzed again." It seems like our culture has become one of victimhood. Everywhere, I mean literally everywhere in our culture and in the world, we hear the voices of victimhood and of blame. Now, these voices of ideologies, of obsessions, and personal grandiosity with its many sins, such as greed and laziness and violence and lying, just to name a few, are getting louder and louder. The pool of Bethesda is an illusion. It convinces us that life is nothing more than our circumstances, that we are victims of whatever situation we find ourselves. It tricks us into believing that as soon as I'm rescued, I will get better. As soon as this happens or that happens, as soon as I retire, as soon as she apologizes, or as soon as I move to a new city, then I will be happy. As soon as someone helps me into the healing waters of Bethesda, my problems will go away and all will be well. The right question is not, "Am I happy?" but rather, "Is there meaning in my life? Is there meaning in my marriage, in my work, my volunteer activities, in my church life?" The truth is, we have all, at one time or another, been wounded by something that has happened to us. And many, many times it's not our fault. The voice, "I am a victim," is sometimes relentless. Now, there are deeper issues than just this man's paralysis. He is paralyzed in his soul as much as his body. When Jesus gives him the command to stand up, take his mat, and walk, Jesus is empowering this man through his grace. Yet, with our physical healing also comes the responsibility for healing our spirit and for healing our soul. Sometimes we compromise on our values, numbing us to real life. We accept practices that inoculate us from real faith. We absorb distractions that derail us from growing spiritually. We become merely human rather than fully human as modeled by Jesus. For some of us, our longings have just shut down. We stop hungering and yearning for God altogether. We find ourselves in need of spiritual resuscitation or resurrection. For some of us on the path to resurrection, there may be a dramatic rush of the Spirit, a sensational conversion, which brings us back to life. But for others who don't just lack hope, but reject it, give up on God's promise of new life. So we need to do some repair work or recovery work, as it is sometimes called, before the Spirit rushes in to fill us with despair-shattering new life. Now, learning to breathe again is not always easy. The responsibility to walk in our holiness is what Jesus means when he said, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore, so nothing worse happens to you." If you ask any person who struggles with addiction, they can tell you that maintaining their sobriety is a lifelong process. It's not just a one-time event. This is one of the reasons they continue to go to meetings, meet with their sponsors and accountability partners. Salvation and healing is a lifelong process for all of us. As we become healed and more whole, we can better reflect an image of wholeness to others. The initial healing may be a call to repentance. But in order to grow spiritually, we need to be part of a community of believers who are on the same journey towards healing as we are. They understand our brokenness, our story, and they can help us when the future seems uncertain and risky. Do you want to be made well? Jesus tells us to keep our eyes focused on him and to continue our soul work of growing in the Spirit and truth, to avoid returning to old, worn out beliefs, habits, claims of victimhood, and blame. In the words of Jesus, stand up, take your mat, and walk. We are called to continue walking the path towards healing our soul and our spirit, no matter our circumstances. We are called to be not merely human, but fully human, as reflected in the life of Jesus. And now, you know the rest of the gospel story. So be it.